Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from Luke the 23rd chapter, beginning with verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now have we not heard many times people contend that they shall be saved like the thief on the cross? It is unfortunate that this event has been so abused and misused by false teachers to mislead and to deceive people regarding the way that God saves people today. When people ask, What about the thief? I'm inclined to respond, Well, what about him? Is he an illustration of the way salvation through Christ is offered to us today? Two thieves died that day with Jesus. One thief railed at Jesus while the other sought his favor. The response that Jesus made to the one seeking favor has given rise to at least three false doctrines. One, some contend that we can be saved like the thief, that is, just a simple request. Then two, others say the thief is an example of what they call deathbed conversion. And the third false doctrine is, others argue that baptism is not essential to salvation, and one can be saved by faith only. Well, all three of these doctrines are closely related and equally false. What does this passage teach? What is applicable for us today? First, let us ask, for what did the thief ask? He said, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did the thief understand the nature of the kingdom that Christ was to soon establish? Now, possibly he realized it would be a spiritual kingdom and not one of this world, as Jesus had said in John 18:36. But if he did, he would have been rather unusual, seeing how even the apostles still had misconceptions about it, even at this late date. Did he know that being in the kingdom was the same as being one of the spiritually saved? Now, he may have understood this, but he did not specifically ask for spiritual salvation. Remember that most who heard Jesus looked upon him to establish an earthly kingdom that would rival the Roman Empire, at least shake off the Roman yoke from the Jewish people, and grant them a national independence and a statue like the days of David and Solomon. Was the thief an exception to this misconception? Did the thief expect a miracle from Jesus that he would be taken down from the cross, being physically saved miraculously from his present plight? Again, we have to admit this may have been what he had in mind. He could possibly see the signs that identified Jesus as the King of the Jews. He may have known something of the works of Jesus and his miracles. But the fact of the matter is that we have to engage in speculation when we try to determine exactly what the thief had in mind. We're not specifically told. We best understand his question by referring to the answer that Jesus gave him, because certainly Jesus would know what he meant, and he responded accordingly. Now let us suppose for a moment that he was actually asking for the salvation of his soul. Now we do not know that this is that for which he was asking, but let's suppose that he was. Some say this was the nature of his request. Does this mean that we can be saved like he was? Jesus said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's obvious that wherever Jesus went that day is where the thief went. Well, where does the Bible say that Jesus went? In Acts 2 and verse 31, it teaches that Jesus went to hell, which is the translation of the word Hades. Hell is also the word that is used in the King James Version to translate the word Gehenna. Now, Gehenna and Hades are not the same, even though the same English word, hell, is used to translate them. Hades refers to the temporary, intermediate, unseen state of the dead. Gehenna means the place of eternal punishment. It is not an error to translate both words by the same word hell, inasmuch as dictionaries give hell both meanings. The American Standard Version makes a distinction between them by translating Gehenna as hell and transliterating the other word, Hades, as simply Hades, giving an English sound to a Greek word. But Jesus said he was going to paradise. Therefore, the paradise where Jesus went was into the intermediate state of the dead, or Hades. It was not into heaven where the Father is. John 20 and verse 17 notes that even after his resurrection, he said he had not yet gone to the Father. Where Jesus went is the same place that was entered by Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, which is also called Abraham's bosom, the place of care and safekeeping. The rich man also went into this intermediate state of Hades, or hell, and from all of this it is apparent that Hades is divided into two parts. One, a place of torment, like where the rich man went, and the other called Abraham's bosom, or paradise, like that which Lazarus entered. And even if Jesus and the thief went directly to heaven where the Father is, which is not the case, this event would not prove that this is the way we get into heaven. Friend, we are saved by the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16. At the time of the thief on the cross, the gospel was not yet in operation. It was not even yet complete. The gospel includes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And these things had not even yet been accomplished. The thief lived and died before the gospel became the way of salvation. The gospel way was first preached at Jerusalem on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The thief lived and died while the Mosaic law was still operative. We live under the new will of Christ, Hebrews 9:15 through 17. While Jesus was alive, he could dispense with his blessings any way he saw fit. And this is what he did regarding the thief. But after his death, the benefits through Christ must come through his will. Now let me illustrate. Before 1913, nobody paid income tax. There was no such law. But suppose I now ignore my duty to pay income tax on the basis that patriarchal and law-abiding citizens before 1913 did not pay them. Cannot we see we're subject to a different system? So it is regarding the thief. He was not subject to the gospel system as we are today. Therefore, we cannot look to the event of the thief on the cross as the way that we shall be saved. And unfortunately, some cite the thief as an example of what they call deathbed conversion. By this, they simply mean that one can refuse Christ until the final moments and then, while on his deathbed, simply ask Jesus for salvation and they shall be saved. None would doubt that a dying man is sincere in wanting to be saved. But shall we deceive people into thinking that they can ignore the will of Christ that demands their obedience to his commands? Where do we find anybody being saved this way after his will came into effect? There is such a thing as being almost but not altogether saved, Acts chapter 26. One can wait too long to even be able to render obedience. He may still live, he may even realize his lost condition, but he has no hope if he has not done what the Scriptures teach one must do to be saved. What human being has the right to tell others we can dispense with the will of Christ and enjoy his blessings some other way? And listen to me, friend. Even if this is an example of what is called deathbed conversion, does that really apply to you? Are you on your deathbed? Cannot you obey the commands necessary to be saved? Or you condemn your soul to rely on this event as the way that you can be saved? You will never find comfort in it. It doesn't apply to you, nor to anybody now living. Now some deny baptism is essential for salvation, and they cite the thief on the cross. Well, nobody can prove he was baptized, and nobody can prove that he was not. Many were baptized by John the Baptist looking forward to the coming of Christ. Could the thief have been among that number? Well, he could have been, but we certainly do not know about this. But the fact remains that he never lived, subject to the command to be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins that was first commanded on Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 38, as had been foretold by Jesus in Luke 24 and verse 17. But you see, you and I live since that command has been delivered. Why do you think you can ignore it and claim salvation like the thief? All others in the Bible who lived after Pentecost were saved by being baptized. Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 16, chapter 18. There is no example of conversion after Pentecost without baptism. The Scriptures teach baptism is necessary to be saved. The Scriptures deny salvation by faith only. The apostles taught and practiced water baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul says there is one baptism, Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. Now one may ignore it, he may ridicule it, he may deny it, he may mock it, he may refuse to obey it. But friend, that doesn't change anything about it. One soul is lost until he obeys. Jesus is the author of salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Have you been led to think that you can be saved like the thief? Well, friend, don't be misguided any longer. Measure what you have done by the Scripture and what the Scripture teaches the gospel requires. Salvation is by the blood of Christ, Romans 5 and verse 9. And we reach that blood when we're baptized into his death, Romans 6, 3 and 4. This is where he shed his blood. And he tells us why we're raised to walk in a newness of life as new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It's because we are baptized into his death where his blood was shed, and God applies his blood to our sin-stained souls, and we rise to walk in a newness of life. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. To rely on the way the thief received whatever blessing he may have received is to attempt to appropriate to ourselves something that does not even apply to us. Hear, believe, and obey the gospel, then salvation will be given to you by the Savior. And there is no other way. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.